Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got to smudge together as brothers. Sir, can you please show us how to do this the right way?
Yes, sir. Pat, you can get up, turn around, put your arms out, all right? And you start here.
So you blessing them right now, or what's this word?
Pick up your left leg.
Oh, yeah, get everything. Get the ankles.
You can put it down. Put up your right leg.
You're supposed to stand up while we're doing it.
Yep, left leg up.
Hopefully you sage him the right way. I'll get me some more money on this
right
job.
I'm stressed. Yeah, get me, boy. Give
Lord
me three times.
All right, it's my turn.
Turn around. Turn around. Yes, sir.
You can eat sage?
Right leg up.
You said yes, sir, to eat sage?
Yeah, you can boil it as tea. Turn around.
It's your boy. Give me right.
Get his head.
I'm like him.
Yeah. That mean like what? The energy or something? Like we can't transfer the energy?
He focused.
So, yeah.
Ooh. If I had it every game, listen, I'd have had another 4,000, 5,000 yards if I had this every day, every game.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Fact. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wooden wheels straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot. These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchup, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
B. Marshall here. I know you guys like to laugh sometimes with all my little trick shots, but here's the deal. We're in it. We're talking about NBA playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook is the partner. I Am Athlete is the platform. Athlete is the code, the promo code. Use the promo code after you download the app DraftKings Sportsbook. If you bet $5, you're going to get $150 in new bets if you win. That's 30-1 odds. You can't get that anywhere else. Same game parlay, stacking bets to make your bag a little bit bigger. Download the app, get in the game, make it rain, baby. So much action right now. I got to go watch.
DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete, all day, promo code athlete, let's get it.
Okay, another show, another episode of I Am Athlete with my boys, Pac-Man Jones, right? You don't mind if I call you Pac-Man Jones?
No, Adam Pac-Man Jones, it's cool, Pac-Man
And then
Jones.
My boy, B. Marsh, we have a special guest. So, 2011, right? First overall pick. Madonna's All-American, whole career. So he's always been like that. And he's balling for the Nets right now. You know what I'm saying? Got a ring with Bron. I'm happy to have Kyrie Irving. Some people may call him Uncle Drew. Some people call him the scale god. Kyrie Irving in the building.
Appreciate
happy
y'all.
To have you, my brother.
Thank you, respect.
And thank you for the smudging.
Yes, sir.
Know the terminology, all the viewers. It's called smudging. Mm-hmm. I feel better. You feel better?
I want to learn. I feel I do feel a sense of peace. I feel like his presence came in and changed.
He's positive, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
So like he's positive.
The environment do feel different,
yeah.
You know, but we sit here playing around a little bit. It's cool, but when you start saging yourself it's like you went into a meditative state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Grounding.
Huh?
Grounding. Is just as sacred as lighting the sage. So everything has intention, you know, and it's really about paying homage to all those who have come before you. And there has been numerous wars that have taken place over centuries against indigenous Americans or indigenous people, black Americans, black people. And this is very sacred to us because it's a ritual, you know, and it means different things in different households and different cultures all around the world. Sage is a global thing, you know what I mean? And for me personally, I went back to my tribe in South Dakota, reclaiming my identity, reclaiming my power, reclaiming my tribal relationships, my communal relationships, and I got my name, Ela.
Mm. Ela.
Ela. H-E-L-A.
What's that?
And it means little mountain. And, in my tribe. So I have a name that was handed down to me from my great-grandfather, and it was given to me from my tribe. So that was around 2017, and I'll say this, it shook my world up because all the history was just being given to me, and then my ancestors were standing right next to me. So everywhere I go, I'm not walking alone.
That's so this so is in South Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you
Standing
find
Rock. Standing Rock or McLaughlin, South Dakota, North Dakota, Arizona, a little bit up because America before it was colonized was indigenous.
So wow. So what was this, what happened, you know, in your life that made you want to find your tribe or even think like that?
Yeah.
And then also, mm-hmm. you know, how do you find, when you say I found my tribe? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How do you do that? You know, saying ancestor.
Can I find my tribe?
Yeah, you can. I'm gonna just say this. There are ways to reconnect to your history by just asking questions to your elders. They're walking libraries. You know what I mean? They have a lot of information and wisdom and knowledge to impart on us. But of course, we're out here living fast lives, so it's hard to sit down sometimes with your grandmother, your great grandmother, and you know. It is, I'll say this, the phrase for 2022 on that I give to my brothers and sisters is find your tribe season. Mm. It's find your tribe season. It really is about reconnecting to your lineage and appreciating it, you know? And when you find your identity, it's just, you're not walking confused out here and trying to piece yourself together from other people's knowledge about who you are, you know? Because there's a lot of false information about who we are as indigenous black people. So when I found my tribe, it literally was a purpose that was given to me from my mom. She passed away, transitioned when I was 4 years old. Right. And then my grandmother at 5 years old. So my grandmother was in the Bronx and then my mom was in South Dakota, right? Okay. And my mom was adopted out of the tribe. This was during the 60s and this was happening pretty often that, you know, there was a war against indigenous Americans and they were placing them in different schools and different homes. So my mom was part of that that time. And then, it was heavy on me. It was heavy on me. I just felt like I was lost in the world, you know, without my mom and my grandmother. So I needed some direction. So went back, got my naming done, went back to the Bronx, Mitchell Projects, where my dad grew up, my four aunts, my uncle. And, you know, we just started really making changes, making impact.
2017, yep. You were playing where?
I was still in Cleveland.
So yep. You were in Cleveland.
Yep.
Your mom passed when you were four, mm-hmm. transitioned when mm-hmm. when you were four. Then your grandmother, a year later, mm-hmm. drugs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, unfortunate. Just like the way that happened was, it was more than just drugs. It was just environment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Growing up in the projects, growing up in the hood, you know what comes with it. So
correct.
I'll say there were instances where my aunts and my uncle had to be grown-ups before they were 12, 13 years old because my grandmother, you know, she was young. She had her first child at 13 years old.
I'm trying to kind of put myself in your shoes, right? Like 2017, like you're on top of the world. Your Uncle Drew. Was the movie out by then?
Nah, I filmed it in 2017. It came out in 2018.
Yeah, your own shoe, you're on top of the world. So like what was going on in your world where you're just like, yo, I gotta reconnect.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
You could be traveling the world, you could be partying, you could be doing other things, but you know, 2017, you're like, you know, connecting with your mom, your grandmother, your tribe. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what was that?
So I'll say it was 2017 leading into 2018, it's really around that time. So, it was like climbing up one of the tallest mountains in the world, winning a championship. And when I got up there and you realize that all the accolades and all the achievements, yeah, it feels good. It feels great to add that to the career, but I felt empty after I done traveled, after I done partied, after I done spent a bunch of money, after I done asked for more deals, after I done, you know, we all been through it. So feeling on the top of that mountain, man, after a while, I just felt like I didn't really know who I was. I didn't know what my future was gonna be, you know? And when that happens, I didn't know where to really turn. So I started digging deep into my family lineage, and that's where it led me, South Dakota.
Right, and family to you is so big. Even like hearing you talk about it, doing the research to know about your family. I look at like you and your pops, right, your sister, and like I have my dad in my life, you know what I'm saying? Sir. But growing up, especially in the black communities, most black players, especially the superstar players, et cetera, they don't have their dads in their life, right? And you have you and your dad. Like, you have a super crazy bond. One of the games I went to, the Nets, y'all played, I forget who y'all played, I think New York, and you came to the game and you was with your pops. And I was like, damn, like that's what people like strive to have. You know what I mean? People be looking for that. Talk about like your relationship with showing your pops, man, because that's a lot of black kids don't have that.
Well, man, when my mom transitioned, my grandmother transitioned, it shook my dad's world. Just imagine, you know, you looking at one of the strongest men you ever know, and then he loses his mom and his wife in a matter of a 2-year span. So he was going through a lot. Mm-hmm. And just like in our community, we hide it. You know, we hide it very well. We wake up every single day, and I watch my dad wake up every single day and you know, try to strive for that positivity and set a better example for us. So we became really close when he sat us down and he explained to us that my mom transitioned. I'm 5 years old. I remember like it was yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, so when he was sharing that with me, my sister was 5, I was 4 years old. When he was explaining that to us, I still remember that day like it was yesterday, man. 4 years old, and I still had this memory. He's sitting us like, your mom, this happened. This is what our life is gonna look like now. I just wanna let you know that you guys could talk to me about anything. So from that point on, it was just an open door policy with him. I could talk to him about anything. I mean, anything that I was going through. Obviously, I didn't tell him everything, but I definitely shared with him some uncomfortable moments. And we really grew as brothers. You know, I'm watching my dad become a better man, and he's setting a better example for me. But one thing he always shared with me is like, you're gonna be a better man than me.
Right, right.
That was always in our household. You're gonna be a better man than me, and I'm a hell of a man. You know, I'm a hell of a man. I'm a hell of a man. You outdo me, you're gonna have to do this. I used to look up to him like a giant, man. He's 6'4". I was small until I was about like 14, 15 years old, and I hit my growth spurt. But he really invested the weekends in us, me and my sister. My sister going to dance, doing her art thing, me doing my basketball thing, and I spent every weekend in New York City, all across the boroughs playing ball, and that was our connection.
Was that your coping, like doing, I know it was a long time ago, but when you was going that, besides talking to your dad, like for another young athlete or another young kid that's going through the same thing, you know, parents just passed away, you know, I lost my dad early when I was 7, got killed right in front of me. It took me a long time to cope with it, you know what I mean? The anger part, like what can you tell a young kid that's going through a similar situation that you went through right now?
Oh man, well, sometimes it's even difficult to hear stories like that. And I've been through what I've been through, but to hear that, I definitely empathize with you, and I'm here for you. You know, as a brother in this world, understanding that losing somebody close is one of the hardest things to deal with. So talking to the youth and trying to my best to simplify things, it doesn't work for me. You know, it's hard to simplify that to a kid, telling like, you know, everything's gonna be okay, and they just lost a cousin, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad. It's one of the hardest things to do. But I do my best by explaining to them that there's more to live for, you know, and that's a little cliche out there too, but it's a bigger purpose out here for you, you know, and you have to deal with the stages of grief. You have to deal with your emotions when you're ready. Most kids are not ready to face that, you know, and some kids are. But I would say that the positive light that I found from sharing my story was being able to connect with communities all around the world that deal with similar situations. So the kids that I'm talking to specifically, just find your tribe and find people that are really gonna put that love around you. I had so many motherly figures in my life. I had so many other fatherly figures in my life. So they really put their hands on me to keep me in the right direction, because I easily could have ended up in so many different places trying different stuff.
Your pops, he played ball too, right?
Yeah.
So, and then your godfather, was it Rod Strickland?
Yes, sir.
Y'all know who that is?
Yeah.
Dog, he was nice.
Of course.
He had the football tape on his drinks. That was little more. So did that develop your skill set? Because you talk about New York and all that, and Jersey, back. Did that kind of mold your game?
I'll say this, because I definitely took the pride of Jersey as I got a little bit older, but I spent more time in New York than I did in Jersey at certain points. You know, I used to be there with my grandmother. She lived in Mount Vernon. My aunt lived in Mount Vernon. Okay. My aunts lived in Harlem. My stepmom lived in Harlem as well. We were all around the same
boroughs.
Like we were all one bridge away. So, you know, I had family still in the Bronx living in Mitchell Project. So it was like, I was around it all. I saw it all, and some of it traumatized the shit out of me.
Right, for sure.
Because when you realize that you're trying to strive to make a job out of a game, you know, that people are just playing in the parks every day.
Right.
You have to approach it on a different, mental alignment, shall I say. Like, and I don't want to throw these words out. I'll explain it to you. When I say mental alignment, you just had to really be able to shut out what was going on around you. To be able to focus up, because you know, being in the parks in New York,
you
never knew what was gonna happen after a certain time, and they used to, my family used to just throw us out there, but we all used to stick together. It was like eight of us, eight cousins, all hanging out. And to answer your question, part of that family dynamic, it gave me access to people who have done things before me, and that was my Uncle Rod. My Uncle Rod grew up in the same neighborhood as my dad. They were two buildings apart, so they would walk across. It was about four or five of them that they all hung out together. And when my Uncle Rob made it, he got drafted to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Just imagine getting drafted to your hometown.
Right.
You know, he had to get up out of there after like 2 years. You know what I mean? He was the first family member to move from New York to New Jersey. And if you know anything about moving from New York to New Jersey, that's a big accomplishment.
Yeah,
you end up moving to the burbs.
Successful Jersey.
So he definitely had an incredible journey and story to tell me, but me and him didn't connect until a little bit later, in like 16, 17 years old. He was always around, but he was still, he was at Memphis, he was at Kentucky. He had 17 years in the league.
Nice.
So having him as my godfather, I always had somebody to look up to, but my father was always the one that was working with me on my skills at home.
So Pop's kind of that skill and all that?
Yeah. Me and my Uncle Rod have never gotten a chance to work out. Ever. Like, we've played horse and stuff like that, but we've never, like, gone in the gym, like, yo, put the cones out.
Right.
We're going to get 45 minutes, hour in. Like, watching him and my dad, they were my two favorite players.
That's so.
You never saw my dad play, though.
You never saw my dad play, bro.
My Uncle Rod, nice, but my dad is my favorite player. That's my dad and then Kobe. Like, they won A and 1B for me, bro.
Right.
I don't care what people say about it.
Yeah.
My dad
and
Kobe.
One of the things you haven't really had an opportunity to lean into is kind of like the journey and going back to the beginning, right? Mm. So that's one of the things we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I saw on another like show or a podcast, maybe it was a boardroom, mm-hmm. where you talked about your father, and you brought up, you know, he was like, the interesting thing about my dad and our relationship in basketball is where it started. He said he was putting the rim up or the hoop up in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing that we did together around basketball, and it taught me the details. Your mind is just unbelievable, right? Like most kids, oh yeah, I got my hoop, I'm excited about that. But you're talking about like, yo, like, my first interaction was like basketball, and that taught me the details of it. Walk me through that time, and when was that?
All right, so we had just moved from Newark, New Jersey to West Orange, and we were living in Society Hill in Newark, and we went out to West Orange, moved into this nice house.
How old are you?
I was third grade. First time being in our own crib, my dad was hyped. I mean, first time owning a home, you know what I mean? We were renting from my Uncle Rod's family in Newark. Like, when he moved to Jersey, we moved in the same crib. So when we went out to West Orange, we moved in, we got the court outside, he just put the directions on the floor. And I'm just picking up the basketball, like going back and forth, you know, doing what I'm used to be doing. I'm like, yo, all right, Dad, when's the room gonna be? When's the hoop gonna be?
When the real stuff about to pop off?
He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, nah, when you gonna put up the hoop? He's like, no, when are we gonna put up the hoop? Directions on the floor, it's bolts, oh, all his screws everywhere. He got the toolbox out. The rim is just the base. He's like, we're gonna put this up and we're gonna do this together. And I'm gonna show you how to put something together from the ground up. And you may not understand right now, you may not realize what you're doing now, but this is gonna matter for you because details, don't miss out on the details. Mm-hmm. Really enjoy putting something together that you can work with, you know what I mean? So I literally was handcrafting with him and put the net up, and then once the net went up, it was on. It was on, man. And we talked about it when we got in the house a little bit, but my dad definitely was very detail-oriented.
Right.
Very detail-oriented, okay, and pops, wanted to teach me about putting your hands to work and then enjoying your fruits of your labor.
Our audience sometimes say that I don't be listening. I be cutting people off.
You cut me off, bro.
No, I ain't going to cut you off, but I'm listening.
We're not listening.
When we start talking about basketball, when we start talking about basketball.
I'm going to get into that real soon now. You know I am.
Yeah, but what you just said was, you know, the details of putting this hoop together, and it, what comes up is process. Understanding the journey, embracing the journey. Year four, year five, Coach Tony Sperano, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, you know, he came in and I used to, you know, like jot down all his quotes. Like he had these legendary quotes. And one day he came in, he said, and this is the first time I heard it at this time. He said, embrace the journey, not the destination, right? And that takes me back to what we talked about maybe 5-10 minutes ago, going to 2017, where you said you just won the championship, the finals, right? You got everything. Climbing up this large mountain, and then it's like the sense of like you're unfulfilled, right? I think that's a beautiful thing because I think a lot of us players struggle with our identity being wrapped up in the sport, right? So for you, that happened in 2017. That was a big moment.
I'm 24.
You're 24.
24 at that point.
Right. So, you know, when you think about like what this path that you're on and like being present, which I think is the most powerful state that you can be in, is in the present moment. Not thinking about next year or the next day, is like, what about right now? Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of our guys are struggling is because the identity is wrapped up in the sport and they don't understand that. Like, we think that that's what we're here for. We think that winning the Super Bowl, winning the championship, getting a big contract is going to fulfill us, and it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So I want to highlight that because I think that a lot of us look at you, because I'm sitting here watching you, everything that you say, and like, you're interesting.
Smart dude. With the Duke, though. So you shouldn't be surprised. With the Duke.
Yeah, but it ain't. But it's not about that. It's more so like on the path to enlightenment.
Yeah, nice, nice.
Absolutely. This is a different enlightenment period in our, I'll say, in our history of the world, man. Information is much more accessible, but there has to be a level of discernment about what you're digesting, you know?
And I'm sorry, audience and everybody listening, because it's hard for me to articulate myself right now. But basically what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get to is that you're probably the most misunderstood athlete out there.
Yeah.
Right? So sitting here, and I'm just locked in. We've had so many people sit down, you know, on this show, Colin Kaepernick, and hit, you know, really never sat down with someone in that kind of capacity. And over the last 5 years, Coach Flores, Antonio Brown did his thing, and Lil Wayne, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, I've never been this engaged, right? Like, I truly believe you're probably one of the most misunderstood athletes out there. That's counterculture. Like, your journey over the last 5-6 years, I believe, is counterculture to sports. And that's one of the reasons why you're misunderstood. But it's like this, I feel like there's this tension and this toy, like this big like fight around you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you're there in the middle and just trying to stay present in at peace. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I feel you too. I feel you. I want to ask you, because a lot of viewers want to know, you talked about how you thought that y'all could win championship if my man stayed. James Harden, right? Mm-hmm. Which most people thought that.
Yeah.
He wanted the trade. You did that before. You asked for trades. Mm-hmm. And you asked for a trade. You probably was on the best team other than the Warriors.
I wouldn't say it was the best team.
Hold on, no. Let's keep it real.
Well,
Warriors or Cavs, whatever, however you want to push it.
It was going to happen like
come on.
Five times.
And y'all had that championship every year, like the Celtics and the Lakers type.
Yes, sir.
LeBron James, if y'all stay together, how many rings you think y'all have won? Y'all so dangerous together.
I'd probably be in LA right now. probably be traveling with his backpack. No, I'm joking, man. That was a time in my career that I look back on, and we've had conversations, me and Bron, plenty of conversations. So
y'all cool?
That's my dog. Yeah.
Shout out Bron.
Yeah, shout out to Bron.
Bron, nice.
Because when you're in that position as one of the leaders of our culture and not just sport, but in general, like he does things that go way beyond just the court.
Right. Great
role
model.
Impact yes, all, he is. All around different communities. And people agree with his stance and some people disagree.
Right.
So I was learning on the fly. You know, when he first came back, I was 22, 23. So I was just a young kid trying to help Cleveland patch up their relationship with him.
Right.
I got drafted the year after. So when I came in, it was like, are you going to be better than LeBron? Are you? That was my first question when I got into Cleveland. So it was mixed emotions the whole time that we were competitors. And then when he came back as my teammate, you know what I mean? Right. Came back to Cleveland. That's his home. That's not somewhere where he just goes and vacates.
He's from there.
That's like having my family in BK, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like me going home, all that extra stuff doesn't happen. So I definitely feel like me learning from him helped accelerate my understanding of the game that we're in, the business that we're in, because I was watching him deal with it in front of the camera, off the camera, being LeBron James. That comes with its own responsibility. So not only was it teaching me off the court, but on the court, this man is a savant. He's a genius in terms of how he prepares, how he takes care of his body, how he treats his body, what he does every single day to be able to be at the top. You know what I mean? To stay at the top. And people want to see that man fail every minute of the day. But then he has a whole other side. Bron. So I definitely was like, all right, I need to build up my community the same way where, you know, success, failure, we got your back. Haters, go ahead. Y'all got it. When me and him clicked in 2015, I had one of my best years. You know, I was all NBA third team, you know, shot a high percentage from the field. You know, we were going back and forth at a 1-2, you know, punch. And then we had K-Love, Tristan, JR, Shump.
Right.
We had players. We had hoopers, bro. Like Bron was like behind the scenes. What's his nickname that they like call him? LeGM?
Yeah, he's a GM. Yeah,
GM. Right. He's back there like, he going home.
Don't say
like,
you know, no. What's his nickname. You know he the GM.
He is a GM.
Yeah, he the GM.
He put that whole squad together.
Yeah.
He put the squad together.
Okay.
I wasn't mad at him. I was like, all right, bet. So this is how it goes.
That's dope.
Yeah. So we definitely, I feel, would have accomplished a lot more. But again, we go back to climbing that mountain. And when I was going through some of my trials and learning about who I was, it was a lot harder to reconnect to everybody again because I had a lot of questions about the world. What was my place in the world? Not what was my place in the basketball realm. You know, I could be the greatest point guard, this, I'd be skilled, and I was focused on that for a majority of my basketball life. I just wanted to be one of the best to play. But when I started having questions about my life outside of this, it started to seep in, and I was becoming misunderstood.
Oh.
That's when I started to become misunderstood is when I asked for a trade and everybody didn't realize I was asking for a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they were like, nah, you asking for a trade.
The narrative from LeBron.
From LeBron.
That's the narrative.
So that narrative was carrying on. Now it's everything that he posts, everything I post is subliminal.
Yeah.
Everything that we do and everything that, you know what I mean, we talk about is subliminal. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if people remember, but I had a conversation with LeBron after
when you called him
in Boston.
I called him.
They were like, why would you say that in public? Why would you say that in public? I'm like, because y'all stay on my shit about
but LeBron, yep.
About, man, you don't know what it takes. As soon as I ask somebody that's a peer of mine, that is respected, that has won in this league about what it takes to lead a young team to a championship, because that's what he did with us. He was leading us to a championship. I was 22, Shump was 23, my boy Jordan McCray was 23, and then the rest of the guys were like Richard Jefferson, you know, we had
JR.
Like, we had all those guys that were already ready to fill in a role.
Yep. Yeah.
I was coming in every day like, yo, I'm better than you, I don't care, y'all can line up, we go 1v1 right now.
Ooh.
That energy was me every day. So you know, me going against Bron, we played one-on-one one time, by the way. I'm not going to tell y'all who won or lost.
No,
I'm not gonna
tell us, bro.
We had fun going back and forth. We had fun. I'm not gonna talk about who got the better right, like y'all two, but okay. We had fun back and forth. But I'll close it in like this. No, I'm a troll, B. leave it for the speculation. Leave it for the speculation. But I definitely feel like if I was in the same maturity level I am now and understanding who I am, and I look back on that time then, we definitely would have won more championships together because there would have been a better man-to-man understanding about what I'm going through. I didn't know how to share my emotions. I didn't know how to do that. So instead of sharing, I isolated myself. Mm. And I just started pouring myself more into the game of basketball. And I had one of my better seasons, but I wasn't connecting with everybody as much during our championship year. So in 2017, it was a different year for us.
Yeah.
So when we went against Golden State, we went against a great team. When you're not a great team and you're not clicking on all cylinders
together, right.
And together, you're easily defeatable. Mm. You're defeated before you even get to the arena.
Right.
We were in those games against Golden State, but we definitely could have given them a run for their money, regardless if they had Kev.
You brought up, with LeBron, you experienced that. You know, KD, same thing.
Yes, sir.
Who has more of the worst narratives out there, KD or LeBron?
They both equally deal with a life that I think 99% of the world doesn't necessarily understand.
Yep.
Only us can really see through, like, oh man, the underlining emotions that go into them trying to leave a legacy that is perfect to them, but is always trying to get destroyed daily.
Right.
We've never seen any guys like that.
You're right about that.
We've never seen any guys like how many guys can you compare? We try to compare Bron to this guy. He's uncomparable. We try to compare Kev to this guy. Uncomparable. So after the comparison stop, what do they try to go to? The nitpick of every single year, every single week, asking these guys questions because their voice holds merit in communities across the world.
You know why? Especially LeBron. You know why? Because
they've been doing it for 17 years.
I gotta say this, yo. I don't care who's better, Kobe, Bron, or MJ. LeBron is the best role model. And I don't know what he does in his personal life. And as being athletes, it's hard to be straight. It's hard to do everything right. He's the best, bro, as being a role model. Like off the field, or off the court, the stuff he does with education stuff for his community, saying all the right things. I know sometimes he's like, man, somebody asked him a question. I'm like, this mother, he don't do it. All the heat he took. I remember when he left Cleveland and went to the Heat, my opinion was I thought that was a sucker move, right? That's just my opinion. Everybody had the different opinions. But I watched how that dude really just took all that heat, right? Took all of it. Took it all. He didn't even say much back. I'm like, damn, all that criticism and the way you...
That's not 100% true.
But I'm just saying, yo, it's hard to be straight, bro. LeBron is the best at it. Like,
he is, yeah.
You know what I'm
clean,
saying?
Clean.
The stuff he does, like, bro.
For sure.
You got to respect that.
But he struggled that first year going to the Heat, though. But you're right what you're saying overall.
And you were talking about how, like, because first of all, y'all didn't talk for a while. When you called him in Boston, I did my homework. You didn't talk to LeBron for a while when you traded, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so then you called him like, yo, now I know what it really means to be like a leader and dealing with these young boys. Because Tatum and them was young boys. And you was the old head, which was different. My question is like, because you never really talked about like what made you want the trade. You talked about how you came into yourself, learned this and that, but you never really talked about like why you asked for the trade.
So, oh man, let me.
I put you on the spot for a little bit.
No. Because it's a good reflection time. You know what I mean? When you think about all of the events that took place before we got to that point. Before I got to the point where I asked for the trade.
Okay.
So.
Look at that smirk.
I had different plans, and Bron had different plans, and our team had different plans of what the future looked like. That means that our organization, from our GM to Bron to me, there were future plans in place already. I wasn't going to be part of those future plans if it meant that our team was going to break up. If our team was just going to be gutted because I left, Bron left, K-Love asked for a trade, Tristan didn't get paid or Shump didn't get paid, like that was on the brink of it. Like in order to keep the team together, we all had to make certain sacrifices.
Financially?
Not just financial. I'm just talking about
in order for us to cohesively stay together, okay. finance is a part of it, but okay. in order for us to stay together, right. we had to understand that we had to be more open about what we expected from each other in the future.
When you say that, because
we were only together for
simplify.
2 years.
Let's no, simplify okay, a little bit.
You're in the locker room, and you guys know you have a championship caliber team
yes,
for the
you
next
do.
5 years.
Okay.
How many conversations are really being had about what the next 2 to 5 years right. looks like? For everybody to be comfortable and happy.
Okay, okay.
Those conversations, I don't know if those happen in y'all locker room.
So that's money, that's players, that's everything you're saying.
That's family, that's environment, that's coaching, that's oh, okay. all top to bottom. We're on a different axle in the NBA at times, bro,
yeah,
in terms
are.
Of our access to yeah. our GM.
Yeah, that's
our president.
Especially y'all. Especially y'all. Yeah.
It's different. So our education in that sense of the business of basketball is just like it's front and center. There are no like gray gray right. windows or sort of say like smoky windows where you can't see what's going on.
Oh, okay.
So when I asked for the trade, I'm like, look, I'd rather go experience other things in the league before I start really settling down okay. into right. a career. Yeah.
You still was young, too,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I was 24.
Did you inform Bron that you wanted to leave?
Nah, we didn't talk. Okay. We didn't talk during that time. I was in the summer in China.
Why are you smiling again?
I know what a smirk is.
Because when I tell you this, It's for good purpose, because I know the viewers want to know. No, we didn't talk during that time. And again, when I look back on what I was going through at that time, I wish I did, because it would have been a mutual understanding of what the future will hold for both of us, and we knew how much power we both had together. Mm. Me and him in the league together, running Cleveland.
Dominant.
And then being able to put a better team together every single year would have definitely been worth it. You know what I mean? But for okay. me, I threw all my chips in. I said, look, I'm ready to go experience something new. I'm young.
Build your own drink. And I don't mind that. You know why I don't mind that? Because I've been there. I ain't gonna lie. I've been there with teams. You have a big dog, right? It's like, yo, thank you, but it's time for me. I'm Kyrie Irving. I got my own shoe, signature shoe that got popping. Right?
Big
and,
shoe.
And it looks better. This yeah. is my opinion. Anyway, that part of it, and it's like, yo, I'm the first pick overall, too. We got a championship, and I learned from you. So now, like, you ever work for somebody, right, they teach you the game? Now I can stand on my own 2 feet. So thank you. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, no hard feelings.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
That's what it sounds like. I'm saying that's what it sounds like.
But, yeah, I mean, you already covered it.
It was centered around building my own thing. Yeah. But, like, again, it was let me go experience yeah. the right. league. Let me go experience right. what my trade value right. is. Let me go see how many other teams want
get
me to be
from
part of
the shadow.
It.
But a lot of greats, I ain't gonna lie though, yeah. It hasn't affected your career, but a lot of greats has affected their career somehow. Like, if you ever hear Shaq, he gets so emotional about him and Penny. Then he goes back, gets even more emotional with Kobe and him.
Right.
And I'm like, damn, like stuff like that, you look back like, yo, maybe if we were to talk, because he said that him and Bron didn't talk. Like, yo, look, this is how I feel, this is how you feel. Let's work together to get this, you know what I'm saying?
I know, but at the end of the day, it's simple.
Yeah.
It comes down, like, you 30.
It ain't that simple, though.
It is simple.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how simple it is.
It's not that simple at that time.
It's not simple, but make sure what it is.
He didn't do it with Bron.
Hold on, he's the number one pick overall.
It ain't that easy, bro.
At a certain point, I want to get out from up under this umbrella and do my own umbrella.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's what stars do.
Hold on, time out.
What fucking star is
you just said Shaq and Kobe.
He just said
James Harden did it too. He got a Houston guy crazy.
But what is this what I mean by simple? It comes down to ego.
I don't think it's ego.
It does. It comes down to ego. It comes down to being young.
He got his own goals though.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. What I'm saying
that's ego. He got his own goals.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
The problem is when you do things like this, we start criticizing. But at the end of the day, you were 24. Mm-hmm. Shaq and Kobe went through it. Shaq and Penny went through it. You just said KD, right? And so it goes back into this whole narrative.
Communication, that's the problem.
Yeah, but when you're 24, I had guys come train with me, man, and come off training with me, go be Pro Bowls, go to the Pro Bowl, have their best years, like just showing them the way. And then come back to me, this happened to me three times, and said, you know what, OG, I need to go try things that work for me. Like, I'm gonna go do something different. Never went back to the Pro Bowl. I'm like, I just showed you the way. So it's just like, it's just that youth. That's all it is. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. You got to do what's best for you. It's a business. Everybody got their own brands. It's not just 32 NFL teams. You got 32 NFL teams. You got 32 quarterbacks. You got 64, you know, X's and Z's. How many corners? Like, and everybody's their own entity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
But when you look back at it, that's why I love the conversation for you to be able to, like, look, like, you know, in retrospect, I could have did this. I could have did that. We don't see that part. They don't even give us the opportunity to have these type of conversations. Yeah. You're not human. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to think like that.
But hold up. Now they have power. Huh? Remember, he just talked about that. You and Brown had enough power to communicate, yo, this is what we want for the future. They had enough power to do that. Mm-hmm. This is what we want. This is what we want to happen. Right. So that's how I said about communication. But then again, I think he's right, because I would have been like that. Look, thank you, big dog, but I want to go do my own thing. It's time for me to have my own. Because people don't haven't played. Like, dude like Tom Brady, I played in my last year. I seen the difference. I played with some good players, but, like, off the field, like, the stuff you got to deal with is similar to LeBron. You see what I'm saying?
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code ATHLETE at checkout. That's ATHLETE at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
So I don't think there's nothing wrong with going to get his own thing.
First off, I'll say, let me give you a little background. When I first got to Cleveland, I think I told you this earlier, but that was an uncomfortable position for me to be in, to be in a city where you got the hometown kid going to the Heat, and then I get drafted afterwards, and now I'm asked every single day, what about Bron? What about this? For my career thus far, since I asked for the trade, and I got traded to Boston. What's up with you and Bron? What's up with you and Bron? Everybody keeps asking the same questions over and over and over again. And it's like, you brought up the point of Shaq and Penny, Shaq and Kobe, other people that ended up, you know, not playing together for longer than what people would have wanted.
Right.
Right. So we had to, and I say we, like me and my other teammates, but specifically Bron, because he's one of the biggest I played with, Kev too. That it's way bigger than just trying to satisfy what everybody wants to hear. That's we gotta be cool as brothers, whether we're playing together or whether we're not playing together. Right. We have to protect one another because it will seep into family life where people will really think that we don't like each other based on us not being able to play together anymore. You know what I mean? You asked for a trade, so you must hate that dude.
Yeah, right.
That was the furthest thing from the truth. That's not true. Right. That's not true. So I had to defend myself. He had to defend himself.
Right.
And it's like, I'm trying to put that to bed so I could continue to build my own legacy. Right. But I'm continuously reminded over and over again, yo, you left Bron, how can you do that? You got his fan base, you got my fan base, you got team fan bases going at it. Yo, why couldn't this work? And I say this, I asked for a trade because I was looking for something different. I was a man of my word when I went to the organization. I sat the higher ups down and say, look, I know y'all have future plans. Tell me right now. They told me their future plans. I said, look, this isn't for me.
That's right.
Share that with them. Didn't get a chance to talk to Bron before the media ended up coming out and saying that I asked for a trade. Mm-hmm. So I go over to China and I'm on my Nike tour. Somehow the news gets leaked while I'm in China. I'm not even on American soil right now. So I can't even get on.
Defend yourself.
To defend myself. So now I see all these reports and, you know, 12 hours ahead in China. So
right.
I'm staying up 4 a.m. like, what's being reported now? Yeah. And I didn't have a sense of how to manage that when all the media is coming after me. So now my agent's on the phone. He's like, we should do this. We should put out a statement. We should do this. But I had the conversation that needed to be had with the organization. And then I was going to have it with Bron. But as soon as I got over to China, boom. Now it's Bron's attempted to do this, and Kyrie's saying it's about this, and that's not the image I want to create. Me and him never had beef like that.
Your coworkers doing it again.
We never.
Oh, shit, bro. We never, a mother.
Yeah, but we never bad, had. Bro. That was never our energy that we had.
They gonna print what's
never. Whoa, Kyle wasn't talking to the team for the last month. They started throwing
all these things that they created
the whole thing. So now they're asking me, yo, why didn't you tell him? Why didn't you? I'm like, some things can't really be shared in open spaces all the time, and it took me 6 years to even talk about it openly because I'm comfortable with my decision. Before, I was questioning, like, yo, did I do this the right? You know, I left one of the best to play the game, and I started listening to the
people. Right.
To that. That started seeping. That's where the mental health that you just brought up comes into play, because when you start believing what other people say about you, you become a shell of yourself. Yeah. You become somebody that's different, and you're trying to be perfect for others that don't really give a fuck about whether or not you breathe another day. They like, man, you just another motherfucker that we could just troll or hate on.
Yeah, jump shot.
Yeah, that's all you do. So I had to make the shift to be able to stand on my own 10 toes and be able to be a man out here, be a king, be a god, however y'all describe yourself. Yeah. This is what I describe myself as. I started digging deeper into my faith. I started digging deep into Islam. I started digging deep into the community of following the word of God and being able to have some discernment regardless of whether the world is in chaos or not. I'm at peace with myself. So regardless of what other people are going on, I'm like, man, I'm good. Let me just walk through this doorway.
It's after the trade, right?
Yeah, that's why I said I went through that span
where
I was reclaiming my power. I found my tribe, I reclaimed my identity, and I stopped listening to what everybody else was saying about what an athlete is supposed to be, the image that we're supposed to be every day, why you know we're supposed to be doing the things we do every day, the purpose. I had to find that purpose.
You always talk about like Kobe, right? I see a lot of your articles, you always talk about the Mamba, Kobe this, Kobe that. Actually, when I beat the Warriors, you called Kobe after the joint. That was so dope to see that.
Yeah.
Did he have any like influence on maybe you getting traded or any of them?
Or like, did you lean on him during that time as a mentor?
Like an old head mentor.
I'll tell you this. Before, not Miss Mark. I'm laughing because Kobe had nothing to do with it. But and then people started throwing in like,
I heard that too. Right,
Kobe,
right.
Kobe is influencing Kyrie to ask for a trade because he asked for a trade from Shaq, and he was like, everybody started attributing that, and that was the furthest thing from the truth. He was really helping me cope with my decision and stand on my decision and be happy with whatever situation I was going into. It happened to be Boston, right? And in that, what made it even crazier was Boston was number one in the East when I got traded to them. We were number two the year before.
Wow.
So we had a series with Boston, and when Boston came calling, I was like, yeah, absolutely. This makes sense. Like, you know what I mean?
Was it that easy?
Like, why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not Boston? I'm like, it's the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Right.
You know, this is one of the most historical franchises. My mom and my dad went to Boston University. I got my first offer from Boston University when I was in fifth grade. You know, I used to be up at summer camps for 2 weeks at a time. So we used to drive back and forth. I used to be up there with my cousin's family in the summertime. So I had history in Boston. So it wasn't foreign to me when they said, yo, we want you to be a part of our future. Mm-hmm. On that phone call, they said, yo, are you going to sign here long term? I said, yeah, most likely, but I'm not sure yet. So Kobe was like, yo, you ended up in a perfect situation. This is a franchise of you know, one of the best leagues in the world. They have plenty of championships.
Sports
They're
going
to invest in you. They have great fan base. Yada, you start going down the list. But one of the things that stood out to me was when he told me how happy he was for the situation, but it was the Celtics, knowing that he had... I'm like, is he really telling me this? You know, he means it, or is he telling me it's just to kind of mess with me? But he really helped me cope with making that decision and being able to grow.
What did that look like? You know, because you have those, like, legendary moments with your mentors or, you know, those OGs in the locker room. Like, how does Kobe help you cope? How does he mentor you to this? Like, a conversation. Is he like, yo, you need to do this?
Yeah. Or is he like... Let's hear
Kobe. Or is he more like a therapist?
Yeah. Let's hear a conversation.
Mentor.
Bro.
All right. So...
Bro, play with yourself with Kobe.
Kobe, right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Call him up. Call him up. Call him up. Yo, what's good? Yo, what's good? What's good, Cole? He's like, all right, I'm gonna text you. I'm gonna text you because towards the end of his career, he was doing different things. Yeah. You know what I mean? And this is when I got to Boston. He was retired.
Right.
So you know he's running Kobe Inc. He's running. He's being with his family. He's being with his daughters. Right, he's busy. He ain't got no time to just be, you know, tapping in all the time. So I understood. And again. We just had a different type of mentor-mentee relationship because he knew how curious I was, not just about being great at the game, but just life, you know. So he put The Alchemist in my hands, the book. He told me to read that.
It's a great book.
Kobe's smart too.
Yeah, man. It's like being around him. He really sparks that curiosity even more so because he studied all the greats in other industries in order to help him focus in on what he was doing. He said, man, just You can look at the game and you can study the greats, but really get a world view of all those that are doing great things alongside you. You're not the only one that's dealing with these things. You know, you dealt with a trade, you dealt with, you know, the pressures of being a star guy, and you wanted your own thing, and you wanted this, and you wanted that. But now it's about really taking the time to get to know who the people are around you. Invest the time to get to know them as much as you invest in watching the game. Because I'm an avid YouTube watcher. I'm an avid studier of all the greats in basketball. But he really put all those other authors in my life so I can help balance what I was into. I since I was 12 or 13 years old, I've studied basketball more than, you know, 10,000 hours, as they say, before you become an expert or a master of your craft.
Right.
I've played more than 10,000 hours. I've done all that. So when I got to Boston, I was ready for a new challenge, but I didn't know how it was going to come from within. And that's why he gave me The Alchemist. It's like, the journey is the reward. Embrace the journey. Mm-hmm. Don't think about the end goal so much where you're fixated on trying to prove people wrong or, you know, be at the mountaintop without going through the details that it takes to really appreciate it. So that was him. And his mentorship was like, yo, stay curious, bro. I know you're different. I know you're different. You're not like everybody else out here, so you're not going to ask the same questions. And I loved making him laugh because everybody would always see Kobe as being very serious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But how'd you do that?
He was the best, in my opinion, when he was retired because he opened up the door to so many opportunities that...
He smiled way more.
Yeah. Way more, bro. He had no pride.
But how did you do that? You said you love making him smile.
Jokes. Jokes.
How?
Like,
because I go back to the legendary moment. Was it
2012?
Yeah, 2012. You a baby.
Yeah.
And then you went at him in practice.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Because that was a moment. Because, like, a lot of times, like, man, who's this kid? That's when you really gain respect from the OGs.
That was dope. I said it earlier. That was crazy, though.
Yeah. Like,
that's that energy that I had in Philly that day.
Oh, look, there he had it again. He had it again.
You messy.
I'm at it.
No. I bring that up because that has been my mentality since I came into this. I'm going at anybody and everybody, and I'm here to show you that I just want to get the best out of you and you get the best out of me. That's what this is all about. So how I did it was he wasn't really in competition, you know, in the standings anymore.
Nope.
So... I just sent him a few texts, man. I can't really tell y'all what it was. I just sent him a few texts, man, that just make him smile, bro. You know, cause I was like, here's this young kid just still trying him in text messages, like, yo, I hope you know. You know? I'm waiting for.
Bro, come on, give us one text. Just give us one. Come on.
For the viewers.
Yeah.
For the Kobe lovers.
I'm a Mamba fan.
Let me see, man. I was talking about this last night on my Twitch, too.
What?
Let me think, man. Because I don't want to. I get real emotional about it, bro. It's still an open wound. You know, I'm still healing from it, as everybody is, all the Kobe lovers. And more importantly, I'm very sensitive about his family.
Right.
And making sure I put that. Kobe in the his right wife. Light. So yeah. Even if I'm joking around, I'm like, some of the personal stories
right. I
keep to
that.
Myself. But I tell you one, it was during, I'll tell you about that phone call during 2016 when I called him.
The chip.
Yeah, I was a little tipsy after I had a few
champagne shots going
into it. And I called him and he answered.
Call or FaceTime?
FaceTime.
Okay.
FaceTime.
There you go.
Never FaceTime before that. Never FaceTime.
Yeah, real old head. Yeah, he probably called you.
Yo, what's up? I'm like, your advice worked, bro. You told me not to give a fuck about what nobody said.
Yeah.
You told me, yo, don't pay attention to anybody that's not giving you positive energy, man, and it worked. Your advice worked, bro. Damn, we really did it. I felt like I helped him cement his legacy by having somebody be successful at the highest level, actually listening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people want to be the best at what they do, but they're not as curious to go up to you and ask you straight up questions. What did you do day to day? That was me. Even when I challenged him in 2012, lead up to 2016, he knew that I was going to be competitive, but I was just ultra, ultra, ultra curious and humble to sit with him to be able to ask him pressing questions about mentally, spiritually, physically, how did you get to be who you are? How did you deal with the pressure? So when I got a chance to FaceTime him, he was sitting next to Gigi, and it was just family time, you know?
Yeah.
And we got to celebrate that, and just to see him smile and be proud, it was one of the best moments.
Kobe,
he's the best role model
ever. I love Kobe. Hey, yeah.
He's a dog.
You met Kobe, right?
Oh, he a Philly guy. Yeah,
I met Kobe.
Now, real quick, in my crib, he got his signed jersey and his signed shoes he sent me, personalized to Shady McCoy. But anyway, I do want to ask you this. Now, I only wear like three pair of sneakers, right? I wear three pair of Nikes.
Right.
Air Force Ones, right? Up north in style, that's what we do. I don't know what they do in Atlanta.
They don't wear Air Force Ones no more.
Well, I wear Air Force Ones, right? High top and low tops. Anyway, I wear my Mambas when I'm crossing cats over with the, you know what I mean, the fadeaways. And then I wear Kyrie's. What's up with Nike?
16 years old. I started at St. Patrick's High School, Jordan Brand. They ended up unofficially sponsored me at that time, went to Duke, big Nike school. You know, I was wearing CPs at that school. It was one of my favorite pairs. I was wearing LeBron Soldiers, my favorite pair. That's why we're so tied into the business models with hip hop and art and music, is because we have similar.
You gotta sell yourself
too,
like.
Break down the business for us a little bit more, because, like, have you ever wondered why football players don't get these deals? Like, yeah, OBJ that signed that like 5 year, like 35 million. So I don't even know.
And then AB signed one for like a million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and AB, like, that's a lot of money for football.
Yeah.
$1 million a year, you know, $5 million a year. Do you know why we don't make a lot of money?
Well,
they don't have a helmet on.
I can't answer that.
They don't have a helmet on.
Well, it's because we don't move units, right? Like, when you think about it, and so you just broke down the units and the economics of it. A lot of the players come in, it's like, yeah, I'll take whatever deal, and we really don't know the business. So can you break down, like, how basketball players approach the business in the shoe world?
I can't answer that, like, why it's a big difference, per se, other than, you know, the stigma that is out there is you guys wear helmets.
It's more of us, though.
Huh?
We don't move units.
No, I don't. See, I don't.
And then, like,
I wouldn't agree with that.
Like,
I wouldn't agree with that, like, because if I was coming up to you and offering you a deal, I would offer you a multi-level deal where I would have you design an SB. I would have you design shoes that show more of your off-court.
But we never did that. That's what OBJ. That's what OBJ pushed it for in football.
Yeah, but Vic Cruz had a trainer.
You can wear Kyrie's from basketball or going out to a date.
Correct.
We got cleats.
Yeah, we got cleats.
You know what I mean?
But what he just said is important.
People are wearing ones. People are wearing different type of shoes where they're turning the bottom of the.
But the problem is, we're not in it. Like you said, you went back to 2016 when you was wearing those colorful shoes. One of the rules you got passed, like, you got millions of people watching you. And that's when they buy, and that's when they fall in love with it. So
Yeah, like OBJ kind of pushed it. He pushed it forward because it was that like multi-layer type deal where it's like, yo, like make your own signature shoe. But they don't see OBJ, you know, catch that one-hand touchdown or that ball in those shoes. Now what they banking on now for football players is, yo, you have a following now. You got 13 million followers. So now by having those streetwear shoes on and seeing that the lifestyle, now you can move more units. But that's really it. I want to know more of like the basketball approach to the business.
But it's a little bit different because, again, I told you at 16, that's when I was... I went to a school that was sponsored by Jordan Brand.
Wow.
So there was already a
relationship.
Since then.
They already knew something. Right.
Since then, I don't know how it works when you guys, you know, I know that you guys have like Nike tournaments and stuff like that all around the world, but we're wearing the shoes 24/7 because that is part of that is part of the MO there, is that we want to be part of your life from when you wake up until you go to sleep. You have shoes on. That is what you want somebody to do, but because it's so centralized on football or basketball, it loses that connectivity to youth when they're just like, I just want shoes to run around the playground.
Right.
You know, I just want shoes to just go outside. That's where majority of my business is in the youth sports.
All of them.
It's the youth.
The youth love them.
18-year-olds and up, man, people are too judgmental. I love AJ1s, and you love the historical, you know, shoes that came out, and I respect all that. But the youth are just trying to go outside, you know, strap on their shoes and get dirt. And
get to it.
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Where do you rank? Where do you rank amongst, like, the top selling shoes or performers?
Yeah, tell him, look at this.
Why he's smirking again?
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know he asked.
He said 85% of the shoes.
Huh? He knows.
He said 85% of the shoes.
No, so he said 85% of his shoes.
He one of the players. He want to know, like, what's the rank as for selling the most shoes.
I'll say this. When I told you that it's 4 million units, that's the most in my category. So I'm that's the most units in my category. They put out 4 million units for
He wants
reason.
You to break it down even
so
more.
So yeah, why he smirking? Yeah, just tell us.
He give us a Duke graduate perspective.
He want me to
read between the lines.
And figure it out.
Is it you, bro?
Yeah, right. He wants that's what y'all want to hear. See, that's what y'all want to hear right there.
No, and it's not about comparison.
I'll tell you why.
This boy funny.
I'll tell you why.
I do like your shoes, though.
Say that.
Your shoes do look good. His shoes do look good.
We're all in the same
We're in the same field. We category, competing against right? each other. But why would I tell you something else? More,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to slight nobody. You know what I mean? These are just my numbers. These are my brand numbers.
But it is, though. Like, he don't need to talk about Jordan shit.
I'll tell you this, though. Do y'all know how many signature athletes there are right now?
In basketball?
In basketball.
I know.
Signature?
I know.
How many?
It's not more than 10.
Five.
It's seven.
KD.
Five.
It's seven, right?
Five.
16.
16.
You talking about Nike or you 16. Talking about both?
Signature athletes across the board. Steph,
Steph Curry.
New Balance with Kawhi.
Kawhi. You got Harden. You got KD.
Melo now.
You got Curry.
Melo. I forgot Melo. Dang, you got
Melo. Said Melo already.
LaMelo.
CP.
Six.
Oh, you said LaMelo.
LaMelo.
CP, yeah.
And then what about
LaMelo?
That's eight.
Zion.
Paul George.
Zion.
Paul
George. Zion's on shoot.
Paul George.
Yeah, yeah.
What was this? Was he
Paul George.
Paul George.
Keep going. Keep going.
Wait, that's nine. That's
Luka.
10. Luka.
Luka got a shoe.
Luca has his own shoe.
Oh, damn.
James 11. Harden.
You said James.
I said 11.
You're 16.
Yeah. But who's the
Hold on, let's keep going. Let's figure it out.
Let's know the best players. Abee don't got one.
Embiid. Ja Morant about to get
Abee
one.
Abee got one?
Embiid
one
does have one.
12.
Oh,
wow. 12.
Oh, Lillard got one. 13.
I already
Lillard.
Said him.
Clay don't got one.
Clay
got one. Clay, I love Clay. What Clay got?
Clay's with Anta.
Who?
Anta.
The drink?
No, the shoe brand.
I don't...
Anta, you never heard of Anta Sports?
No, nah, I never.
Li Ming?
What?
Li
yeah,
Ming.
Yeah, I love. Oh.
Man, he's I don't on know. Listen, man. Look, man.
Wade's guy. He got one.
D'Angelo?
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo.
I love, bro.
But that doesn't compare.
D'Angelo. Oh, Russell.
Bro, I'm
Russell.
Telling y'all right
D'Angelo
now.
Russell
16.
Okay,
but, Russell Westbrook.
Hey, listen. I'm telling 16. Y'all right now.
Oh, that's why he's talking about the new units.
Hey, bro.
He's a smart dude. He's did all that to let us know. I'm selling units out of 16. Okay, I'm feeling you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Oh, okay.
I'm in the heat. So he's basically saying he's in the
top three.
Oh, he
set everything up for us to, out of 16 dudes,
yeah.
I don't know who number one, number two,
you do the math.
You do the math. I'm selling numbers. I'm selling units.
Yeah.
So he's like a platinum rapper compared to gold rappers. And
there you go, Shady. He's platinum, Shady.
Shady. So I'll answer your question. You said, what was the question you asked?
You know what my question was.
You said, who's the top?
Yeah.
I'm at the top of the shoe design, pushing units, and being able to do more than just put a shoe out.
Why?
Because I'm not saying that the other guys don't do it. I'm just a little bit more seasoned being in the creative room because I've been doing it since day one. Mm. Most guys go in there and they allow the creators to talk to them and be like, all right, what do you think about the shoe? And you'd be like, oh yeah, I like it. Right. Oh, yeah, it's okay. Mm. Change the shoelaces. And I'm like, no. I take that joint to the hood and be like, y'all mess with this or not?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Wow. See,
before it comes out, I ask. The barrier. Yes.
Like, he like the producer. Like, yo, I got
that's
you.
Dope, bro. Yeah.
That is dope.
Mm-hmm. You going to test
how can
this?
We take some of these shoes to some kids in the hood where we at?
Let me know. Let me know. That's also one of the leading. It's one of the leading ways where you could really, really make an impact is you just put them out.
Read the books.
Put them out. Yeah. I give out at least 30,000, 40,000.
Well, 5,000. Let me
just free shoes.
I got 5,000 a location
so
for you.
Just send them out. Just send them out.
I'm gonna come back to that.
Okay.
Because you give back a lot. Yeah, you didn't even talk about that. That's it's crazy what you do. But the way it weighs, bro, that's dope. It's the dopest. Wade's putting out to me the dopest shoes right now.
Luka got a shoe.
Am I wrong? I didn't know that. And I take you out of it. I'm taking you out of it. Am I seeing this wrong with what Wade is doing with the shoes and sneakers? It's what is it? Li Ning.
You have to.
What is it? What's the name of the company? Li Ning.
I think it may be Li Ning. I don't want to.
But it's Way of Wade.
Way of Wade, but his own brand.
Yeah. Wow.
Whenever you, huh?
Li Ning.
Oh, Ling Yin. See, I didn't even know.
I didn't know Luka.
I thought he was part of Ling Yin. But you said, what was your question again?
Is my eye, is my taste
good?
Oh,
Wade is what he got right is he went in there and gave them the blueprint of how he wants to run his house. You have to think of yourself as, they say, as an institution or a brand or you know, you have to think of yourself as a house. How many houses are there? You know Louis Vuitton has a house.
Fashion houses.
That's how he thinks of it because he took the same knowledge from the fashion world and applied it to the shoe game.
D-Wade, we talking about D-Wade.
He didn't make it only about basketball. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
Wearing shoes is a lifestyle.
I like D-Wade.
That's why I have a game shoe, I have a low, and then I have a core shoe. My core is only selling at Dick's Sporting Goods, you know, it's only selling at
Champs.
You know, yeah, Champs. It's only selling at the small. That's $80, $60 to $80. Then the low is $100 to $110. That's you wear that when you work out. You can wear it on court. You can wear it off court. And then the game shoe is specifically meant for when you put it in your backpack and when you take it out and you're playing. That's it. So I have three different shoes that you can choose from.
So I hear a lot of business savviness.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, like, you know, I look up and I'm reading what KD's doing, and you got
KD's the monster of the business.
KD's
smart.
Silicon Valley.
Russell Wilson, you know, Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you're involved in now? Like, and how do you approach investing and business and?
Well, have any of y'all been burned in business?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I got enough scars to really understand that you have to take your time and be patient with your business knowledge and how you acquire it and how you get it from the right people. You got to talk to the people that not only are successful, but they've had enough failures to speak on all the lessons they've learned to be able to pass on that to you. So in business right now, man, I'm dang near in everything that you can think of, whether it be in music, whether it be in the NFT crypto space, whether it be in starting my own house underneath the house that I have right now at Nike.
Real estate was shady.
Real estate. I brought a lot of property in Jersey once I moved back. The taxes are horrendous, but I got to talk to our governor about that shit. But it's like, those are interests for me, like small ones, but really, what I invest a lot of my time and capital in is revolutionary work. You know, things that are changing the world, things that are moving and shaking rooms, things that make people uncomfortable in their skin when you start talking about oppressive systems that have been keeping us in bondage mentally, spiritually, and physically for a long period of time. This has been going on for centuries. I feel like us as melanated individuals, we're just now starting to realize that the work has already been done for us in the past. Our ancestors left a lot of wisdom for us to pick up. So we don't have to recreate the wheel, but we dang sure gotta unify in order to make this nation that we feel like we can survive in. You know, I've awakened every single day, and you realize everywhere you turn, and there's some type of oppressive system that's there that doesn't look like me. And most of the time, you know what I mean? The money that's being passed around doesn't go through us first. It goes through many people's hands before it gets to us.
Tell us about some of these books right here that you brought, bro.
These powerful books you brought,
spread the knowledge, brother.
Nah, for sure. So I'm glad y'all asked. So this first one is Anthony T. Browder. It's Survival Strategies for Africans in America. Mm. And it's, I think, 13 chapters in here that really speak on just being able to reason with yourself when things are being subliminally thrown your way. And they try to hide this stuff, and you know, they try to keep it away from us. So this knowledge is just an awakening. You know what I mean? Like, it really is just wisdom. You know, he's still alive, Anthony T. Browder. He does trips to Kemet or Egypt, where, you know, every single summer. He excavates the pyramids. He goes over there and really teaches people about our spirituality and why they shot the noses off the pyramids, why they have all of our artifacts in museums and showcase it back to us, why we grow up in our education system and they tell us that, you know, their version of history is better than ours. And, you know, there's this big back and forth of, you know, a fight based on race, culture, and class. I mean, we deal with it all the time. So that's Anthony T. Browder. This is called The Black Holocaust for Beginners. It really speaks on our viewpoints on what people don't like to admit to, but it's a genocide against our people, whether it be through drugs, whether it be through you know, disease in the mind, whether it be through laboring for other people, mm-hmm. whether it be them starting our history and teaching people that it started with slavery, which it didn't. You know what I'm saying? We've been here for thousands of years. And a lot of the knowledge that was passed on to us came from ancient people that knew what the time we're in now. So it calls it the Black Holocaust, and I'm not, you know, trying to downplay the Jewish Holocaust or any other Holocaust, but our Black Holocaust is something that I feel like deserves the same amount of attention. And then this other one is one that I could leave with y'all, but it's called Towards Black Community Development. And it really is just centralized on how do we go further beyond just talking in these conversations about what's going on. We actually act on it. You know what I mean? We're way beyond just me lecturing you and telling y'all all the time. Y'all older than me are trying to tell our elders, are trying to tell the youth, like, this is what happened in our history. But it goes way beyond just talking about it and actually doing it. So those are just three books, and I could leave those with y'all. You guys could read them and pass them along if y'all have time or anything like that.
What's that one book that Kobe told you to read?
I'm an Alchemist.
The Alchemist.
I'm gonna read that one first.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming on the show, man. You did a great job.
One more question for
you. Okay, ain't over yet? Okay. It's been long enough, but go ahead.
Just to ask one more question, you know, because the people want to hear this question.
People do want to know.
Is there any kind of way that you and Brian Mike can get that?
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wicked wheel straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at